Well, it did finally happen, the sentencing of Lori Vallow Daybell, and we even heard her voice in court for 8 minutes, 8 minutes, 44 seconds exactly, Stacey, of her talking about and explaining everything away. And of course, at the end of that 8 minutes and 44 seconds, it made complete sense. She shouldn't be in jail. All of this now, I'm glad she cleared it up.
It was so absurd, Tony, that I grabbed some orange post-it notes and I started taking notes about the craziness. And obviously we're going to listen to her, but one thing that I did write down, if it's okay for me to just, because it was so out there. It was, Jesus has spoken to her and her kids. They're happy in the spiritual world. They're busy. They're doing things. They have jobs. They're busy. Yeah. What?
They're very busy. They're dead. They got off the unemployment and they are very active in heaven. And Lori's going to be there someday and they're all going to be having a good old time, it sounds like. But if you were ever questioning the level to which Lori still believes her own shit, that pretty much summed it up for you right there. And in all honesty, this case, along with the woman in Wisconsin that was out of her mind too, both out of their minds in very different ways, but both I don't think really they don't understand. They're damaged individuals. They're out of order. They're not working right. So should they be in prison for the rest of their lives? Yes, they should be. But I do think we need to take a closer look at mental illness here, not in any way to excuse it or to let them off on anything, but more so maybe we handle these people a little differently than we do just the asshole that shot his family up.
Yeah, you know, because she completely believes, and you can tell in her victim statement, I'm sorry, in her, what do we call it? Well, she's not the victim.
It was the victim impact statements that were being given, but then it's something else when the actual perpetrator is given a platform to speak, which is under law what she could do, and she used it today.
She did use it, and it felt so much like she didn't grasp the fact that she murdered her children. And not just like, oops, I killed my kids. No, I set out to cut them up and burn them and suffocate them. And I made a plan and I did this and I got the tools I needed to do it. Yeah. You know, it's one thing if you accidentally run over your kid in the driveway, you know,
that's usually not a big deal. It's just like, well, have another one, just replace them.
Well, but it's a completely different thing. That's why they call them accidents. This was not an accident. No. And she still doesn't see it as anything wrong. You can feel it in her statement.
Not at all. It's nuts. We have several statements we're going to be playing for you today on Murder in the Morning. We're going to start out in this segment with actually the statement that Lori's attorney made prior to her giving her own statement. Then in our next segment, we're going to be hearing the statement from Colby Ryan, her son, and then Lori's statement as well. Let's start with the attorney statement, and we'll pause as need be as we go through it. This is her attorney giving a statement prior to Lori giving her own statement. And I felt, you know, this should be played because it also, it gives a level of delusion that an attorney I don't think should have. And it's like, I know you got to see things with rosy colored glasses. You got to always kind of be advocating for something that maybe the rest of the world is not advocating for, but come on. You really have nothing to gain here by saying all of this shit. I think you have far more to lose by making the statements that you made. Cause at this point it's looking at getting new clients, not necessarily representing Lori Vallow in the state of Idaho anymore. Anyway, here is his statement from the court on the 31st of July, 2023.
Your Honor, some 20 years ago, I was sworn into the bar and took a sacred oath to uphold the Constitution. And part of upholding that Constitution is making sure that the state meets their burden on criminal cases. They're required to prove beyond a reasonable doubt every aspect of the case. And I used to be a prosecutor back in the day, 20 years ago. I understand the burden and I understand the weight that they carry I enjoyed the job, but it was a bit of a commute. And after a couple of years, I found a job that was closer to home, gave me a little more opportunity to be with my family. And so I took the job, but I was going to be a job as a public defender. And it was hard. I was torn because people would come to me and they would say, you know, how can you do that? How can you represent people that are charged with such horrible and terrible things? And so I went to my wife, one of my best and greatest counselors, and I said, what do you think of all this? And she told me, John, I don't think Jesus Christ was a prosecutor. He is our greatest advocate.
Sorry.
And I sit beside Lori Vallow and I hope and pray for words that he would have me say. And so I've reflected upon this day and this hour.
I'm sorry.
For a long time, several weeks.
What's God going to tell you to say to Lori Vallow? You know,
I apologize. Can I just apologize to anybody who's listening that was just offended by me snorting during that? Because I don't want to disparage anybody believing in Jesus Christ and things like that. But this just felt so over the top to me. And like he was pandering to somebody. He was asking for forgiveness for her. Look what she did.
Yeah.
That's where I'm struggling. It's not running over your kid in the driveway and ask for forgiveness. She made a freaking plan and carried out that plan to kill her children. And I'm getting really worked up. I'm sorry.
And then went on vacation to Hawaii. To Kauai.
Yeah. I haven't been to Hawaii in 20 some years. I'm a little jealous and a little envious.
And danced on the beach. Yeah. While Chad played a ukulele. Let's continue.
And the message that I think I need to tell the court and the recommendation that I need to give to the court regarding Ms. Vallow is a message of peace and love and joy and hope.
Peace, love, and joy, and hope. Really?
First of all, peace. There are so many victims.
I can say peace. Yeah, I'm cool. You want people to have peace. Love, joy. I don't think any of that goes into this mix. I mean,
no,
peace, closure, and the ability to move forward with one's life. Love and joy come in life individually as they're able to find those things, but peace needs to be there first. And Lori Vallow's attorney pleading for it, I don't think really brings any of those to the foreground. Let's continue.
In this case, so many lives have been touched in the negative way. There is devastation and destruction surrounding this case. 3 deaths. And my heart aches. It truly does. As does the rest of my team, Jim and Brandon and all of our experts. We ache with the victims in this case. There's a lot of hurt surrounding this case. And not just the direct victims. As the court is well aware, there are cousins and uncles and aunts and people just in the general public who have been touched by this case. And that hurt can sometimes be manifest as hate. And I think that Lori Daybell is probably the most hated woman in America right now. And maybe in the world. But that hate will never bring closure to the victims. That hate will never bring about the healing to those who are hurt by this case. And hate will never bring about peace. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can.
You're no Martin Luther King Jr., attorney.
Why are you invoking his name in this?
The loss. And I've heard from a number of people today who've talked about JJ never being able to reach his milestones or his 21st birthday or
breathe oxygen.
We wouldn't know what Tylee was going to be when she grew up. We'll never see her playing in the front yard with her children. We'll never know what Tammy's students make of themselves as they grow up. But we need peace to replace the hurt. And that peace and that healing will only come about by love and compassion. And I hope that each person that's touched by this case, whether they're a family member or a friend or just someone who has followed this case from the beginning, I hope they can heal and find some semblance of peace again, because this world needs peace, which brings me to love. And I think that's how we're going to get back to peace. And Lori, if she could speak to each one of those people who have been hurt by this case or been affected by this case in an accurate way, her message would be one of love. Her motto is, love is the key. And Lori's very misunderstood.
His motto is, love is the key. Where did I miss that part of the trial, that Lori's motto is, love is the key?
You know, Tony, I feel like I'm at a wedding. Like this is a justice of the peace doing his best vow recitation.
With a serial philanderer.
Right?
Oh, this is rich. Let's continue.
Interested person. People that know her, and I mean really know her, get the chance to know her the way that I did, the way that her family knows her.
How did you get to know her?
Yeah.
They would know that she is about love.
Then you're blind and deaf.
Yeah.
If you think Lori Vallow is about love and just make that statement publicly, you're insane too. I mean,
right?
This woman was able to pull the wool over so many people's eyes for so long. I think she did it with her attorneys. If this is the fucking statement that they're making, she's about love. Oh, this is just, it's creepy. Let's continue.
Now, Lori and I didn't always get along. Our team has had tension and frustration and a lot of misunderstanding. But overwhelmingly, an overarching concept behind Lori and everything that she says to us and everything that she does is love. So if you get to know Lori, you'd find that she's a very different person than she plays on TV. She's kind. She's loving.
Here?
She's caring. She's very
kind.
Witty.
She's kind. She's loving. She's caring. She's a different one. She plays on TV.
This sounds like either a job interview, wedding vows. It doesn't sound like somebody who murdered their children.
Well, she's a very kind, loving person. You know, you miss that part of it. You miss the part about all of the dead husbands that have mysteriously died in different places. The dead brother, the children that were melted into Lowe's buckets in the backyard of Chad's shack. All that. She's just a kind, loving soul. And witty. Oh, she's witty. Let me tell you, get her a couple cocktails.
She's awesome. You'll love her.
She's witty and awesome. What a buffoon. Let's continue.
She's insightful.
Oh.
She's smart.
Oh, gosh.
And if you talk to people that knew her prior to 2018, prior to this whole crazy event.
He's trying to get himself cited for, conjugal visits.
You'll hear about a wonderful person who is active in her church, who was active in her community, who loved her children.
Active at killing her ex-husband?
Very active in their lives. You'll hear people who talk about how great she was with their children.
Oh.
In her church, in her church callings, in her neighborhood. She was a great mother to her kids. Her son, Colby, in fact, testified at trial that she was a great mother when he was growing up. She has redeeming values. Kay Woodcock sang her praises today, that Lori was a great mom and that Kay...
Until she wasn't.
...allowed JJ, Kanan, to be adopted by Lori and Charles.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of confusion and there's a lot of misunderstanding about...
It's understanding. It's not misunderstanding. It's understanding. You, my friend, are misunderstanding if you're missing the other half of the equation of this person. Yes, Charles Manson was a lovely person before he started fucking killing people or having people kill people for him. I'm sure Hitler was a lovely child.
Right?
There's all these people who were like horrible. You're not necessarily, well, maybe some people are born evil, but... usually the first offense doesn't come out of the womb. It takes a little bit of time to develop, but then once you see the full picture of all of it, you can start to see and go, this is a horrible person. And the horrible deeds, they far outweigh the good they may have done. The friendliness, the cleaning up after the kid threw up at church camp that Lori may have done. I don't know. But this is this rosy-ass picture. I don't even get why he's doing it. Again, I'm wondering, is he setting himself up for some conjugal visits? Is that what he's... is that the goal? I don't know.
I don't know. He is defending her beyond being the defense attorney. He is... He's making excuses for her, and there are none.
It's getting personal, and it's getting weird, and it's getting creepy. Where was the defense when the trial was going on about how what a wonderful person she is? I mean, they almost like kind of threw the towel in towards the end, like, oh, fuck it, we're not going to do anything.
That's exactly what it felt like.
No, it's
so
like,
where was this energy then?
Oh, something going on behind those cell walls. I don't know. Let's continue.
How this ultimately came to pass. And that's probably not going to change anytime soon. There will be a lot of misunderstanding and a lot of confusion.
As long as you see her for who she is.
This brings me to my last topic.
Oh,
there's more.
And that is of hope. Oh. So what is hope? Well, hope is defined as a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. So what do we want to happen in this case? I think the court is well aware of the four goals of sentencing pursuant to Idaho Code 19-25-21. The first and foremost is the protection of society. The second most important is rehabilitation and then deterrence of the individual and the public generally. And finally, the least important, according to statute, is that of punishment. Now, first-degree murder is first-degree murder, and conspiracy carries the same punishment. Under Title 18, 4004, and I quote, the court shall impose a life sentence with a minimum period of confinement of not less than 10 years, during which the period of confinement of the offender shall not be eligible for parole or discharge or credit or reduction of sentence for good conduct, except for meritorious service. So those are the two guiding principles that we have to look at. And I know the court's well aware of this. This isn't necessarily for the court's edification. But I think we have to think about how are we going to heal the hurt and the pain and the devastation of this case with hope? How do we reconcile the four goals of sentencing in Idaho Code 19-25-21 and the requirements of punishment in 18-4004 with hope? Well, we, and collectively I'm talking about the court, the prosecution, and the defense, collectively, have saved the life of the defendant. I don't think the court, nor the prosecution, or the defense team should take credit or blame for the death penalty being taken off the table as a possible punishment. In my opinion, it was a collective effort, an effort that led to the court's decision. It was a necessary outcome to a series of events that no one person can be credited or blamed. We saved her life, and that is a win. That's a win for all humanity. So now what do we do? Court can, as the state requests, find a sentence appropriate of fixed life without parole. That certainly meets the protection of society and punishment, the first and last goals of sentencing. However, if the court so chooses, the court can also give the defendant a fixed term of years to serve in prison, followed by an indeterminate term of life. And after great deliberation and thought, we would ask the court to sentence Ms. Fellow Daybell to a 20-year fixed term with an indeterminate term of life. We believe that that meets all the goals of sentencing with an added bonus of hope. So why
hope
would we give the defendant any hope at all? Are we rewarding her? I don't think so. It's not about her. Giving her hope, It's for us. It's for everyone in this courtroom.
No, no one has hope for her. Why would anyone want to hope for Lori Vallow Daybell? She's proved time and time again, you can't trust her. She's an evil, horrible human being. Her mental diagnosis shows that she's not at all competent of what she's done. And just wait till she speaks.
It's for everyone watching on the internet. It's for everyone who's going to watch this on television. It's for everyone who lives and breathes outside the walls of prison. Her hope will benefit society. In our opinion, if you give her fixed life, you will have essentially thrown her away.
Yeah.
She has no incentive to rehabilitate. There is no deterrent to her or anyone else. The punishment portion is final and all-encompassing. However, if we give her hope, we protect society by keeping her behind bars well into her 70s, but she has the incentive to be a model prisoner. She has the incentive to help those women that she interacts with in prison. And over time, she changes her behavior, her routines become habits, and she helps other inmates. She becomes a better person. And as these inmates interact with her, this better version of Lori Daybell, they become better people as they re-enter society. So without hope, the likelihood of success in reaching any of the goals of sentencing other than punishment is very low, if not non-existent. Your Honor, we live in the greatest country in the world. We can do this. We can't bring JJ back. We will never reach those milestones. We can't bring Tylee back. She'll never have children of her own. And we can't bring Tammy back. She'll never visit with her grandkids or teach a young student in the library or in her computer class. But we can try to bring others up who go to prison to a higher level than they are when they went in. And I think that's important. And I think that's a testament to JJ and to Tylee and to Tammy. I think that gives them something to carry on in the future. Forgetting about Lori Daybell is not the way that we're going to heal. Remembering JJ, remembering Tylee, remembering Tammy, and allowing Lori to be the best person that she can be in a prison setting, to help other people in that prison setting. That's how we're going to get the benefit out of Lori. The benefit to society of giving Lori Daybell hope far outweighs any detriment. And what do we have to lose by giving a woman in her 70s an opportunity to go before a parole board and to ask for release? There's not even any guarantee that she will be released in her 70s. But that hope is what's going to drive progress in this case. So in summation, we need to heal in order to have peace. Peace comes through love. Love is manifested in this case through hope. We ask the court to show mercy and look to the future. We ask the court for a 20-year fixed term plus life indeterminate, concurrent for all five counts of murder and conspiracy to commit murder.
By the way,
we ask the court
five counts
to give Lori Daybell a 14-year concurrent sentence for the grand theft to run concurrent with each one of the other charges. We can do this, Judge.
Oh.
We can move forward towards peace.
Again, you can do it.
And heal, which is what we really need to do.
And which is why I also brought Steve Winwood into the courtroom with me today. And we want to have this musical celebration of Lori's life. So, Judge, I ask everyone to stand up, pull their hands together, and celebrate Lori. Because without it, the world would be a darker place. He'll make a great shitty pastor at a small church down by the river, by the railroad tracks that seven people attend. Kind of like how her and Chad kind of started. He'll make a great pastor for that, now that it sounds like he's too has been brainwashed by Lori Bello. I don't even know what to make. Hang on. I got to turn this off. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're okay. But, you know, she's going to influence the other prisoners. Oh, great.
Yeah.
That's great. You do that. Okay. I don't want her talking to anybody.
No. No, there's no good that's going to come of Lori Fallow Daybell. If we haven't learned this yet, nothing's good. No, there's nothing. She's not a good person. She's an evil, horrible human being who got lucky that because of a procedural issue didn't get the death penalty.
Yep.
That's the only thing that saved her ass, was a slight delay because somebody didn't file paperwork correctly. That's why she's not on death row right this second. But yeah, 20 years. Good news, spoiler alert, she gets far more than what the attorney asked for. We'll have that for you in our next segment here on Murder in the Morning.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.